Like somebody said, okay, An-Nabi s.a.w. said about the one who commit major sin, he's in hellfire. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no one will make intercession in the day of judgment. No intercession. Khalas, he canceled intercession. In the other ayah, there is other verses Allah said, nobody will make intercession without his permission. So this ayah explained the other ayah. So this is the wrong way of dealing with Quran Sunnah, and the other way, which is I mentioned to collect all the evidence, this is the way of Ahlul Sunnah. This is one of the reasons they came up with these bid'ah, because look to one hadith or one ayah. The third reasons for these bid'ah to appear, argument. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as reported by Ibn Majah, and Abi Umamah radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to mislead people after they've been guided, if he wants a nation to be misled after they've been guided, he will let them have argument. The argument will spread among them. In this case, they will destroy themselves. A'udhu billah. مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ هُدَى كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُوتُوا الْجَدَلِ. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayah, بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ. They are people who argue a lot, the kuffar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, argument in Qur'an, kufr. Al-mira'u fi al-Qur'an, kufr. Kama 'inda al-hakim fi al-mustadrak. Fourth reasons for this bid'ah to appear, ignorance. Al-jahl. First kind of ignorance, they don't know sunnah. You notice that the people of bid'ah, the innovators, and the head of these sects, they don't know what is sunnah is. For instance, Ibn Taymiyyah said, if you read the book which is written by Al-Ghazali and Abu al-Ma'ali al-Juwayni, and they are great scholars in their groups, you will realize that they never read Sahih al-Bukhari. And Al-Ghazali is Hujjatul Islam. And Abu al-Ma'ali is the Imam of the Haramain. And they didn't know Sahih al-Bukhari. They didn't read Sahih al-Bukhari even. They don't know Sunnah. And they are very ignorant in Sunnah. And also they didn't know the narrations of the Sahaba. They are the most ignorant. They don't know. They never read what the Sahaba said in this subject. This is one of the biggest issue, one of the biggest reasons those people be misled. They never study the Sunnah. They never study the narrations of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Islam said very amazing statements. There's no time to go over it. But he said that he was amazed. He was surprised, and I'm surprised like him. I think you should all be surprised. He said when you read in the books like Al-Shahristani, Al-Milal al-Nihal, those people who wrote about the history of sects, or those people who like Al-Shahristani, he is belong to a group called Al-Asha'ira. Or Abu al-Ma'ali al-Juwayni from Al-Asha'ira, Abu Ya'la ibn al-Zaghuni, Abu al-Husayn al-Basri, Al-Qadi Abu Bakr al-Baqillani wa ghayru. Those people, when you read, they are big names in these sects. When you read their books, they talk, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's talk. There is 9 different opinions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's talk. They said that. The Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, he doesn't talk, what his talk is. He said, they give you 9 different opinions about some group, maybe, يعني, there are very few people who exist in the middle of, يعني, in the far east or in the far west. He will bring their statement, show how much he knows. Then Ibn Taymiyyah said, and the end, he will not mention the opinion of the Sahaba and the opinion of the Tabi'een and the truth opinion in this matter. He doesn't know it. He know about a statement been said by some persons in the middle of nowhere, and he didn't know what Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and the Sahaba said about these issues. This is the habit or the nature of the people of Ahlul Bid'ah, who always quote this and this person, listen, but he doesn't know. You can see they don't quote what the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, the successors, have said. And he said, in so many times, I got them. Because I found, they said, this such and such opinion cannot be accepted. Then I proved to them that this is the opinion of their sheikhs. Like they said, we are Maliki. Then I told them, this is exactly what Malik said. How come you are going against it? And he said, so many times I found them saying, whoever said that is kafir. And they claim they are Shafi'i or Hanafi. Then I told them, this is the statement of your sheikh, Abu Hanifa and Malik. And so many times, he said, when I had dialogue with them, they said, whoever said so and so, he is kafir. Then I bring him a proof that the Prophet ﷺ said that. Ignorant. They didn't know. They didn't know. I remember once, personally, any experience, with one also who belonged to one of these sects. We had an argument about wala' u bara'. So he said, you cannot have wala', loyalty to somebody, to love somebody and to hate him at the same time. Said, no, why? I love whatever good he has, I hate whatever bad he has. Makes sense? Said, no, impossible. I said, why? Because the person cannot be good and bad at the same time. I said, that doesn't make sense. But I told him, for the sake of argument, I told him, not argument, the bad meaning, because he was my teacher, actually. Anyway, so, teacher by force, yani, not by choice. He was in the college. Then, we reached to that point, and I told him, what do you think? The person can have iman and kufr in the same time. He said, A'udhu billah. Whoever said that is, I said, stop. Don't say it. Wallahi, yani, I remember, he was so mad, I was in the classroom. I said, stop, Sheikh, don't say it. Because he was going to say something bad. Man yaqul anna al-insan ishtir'i fi iman wa kufr hadha insan. He said, stop. I said, Allah said that. Then wallahi, brother, he like shut down. He like, kida. I said, Allah said in Surah Yusuf, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Allah said, most of them, they believe in Allah, but they associate other with Allah. They are mushrikeen in the same times. Allah said that those people had two, iman and shirk. Then he, khalas, he left the classroom. I remember, he closed his suitcase and he said, I'm not going to teach. And he left. Yani, because those people are ignorant of the Quran and Sunnah. And they only learn something from the sheikhs or from the books. That's it. They never try to expose to learn about the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Also, they are ignorant in Arabic language. Ignorant of the person who doesn't know Arabic language, he will make a lot of bid'ah. No doubt. Because he doesn't understand the Quran and sunnah. If he put himself in a position to make interpretation, to make fatawa, he cannot if he doesn't know the language of the Quran. Otherwise, he is going to make bid'ah. He's going to start making from his own opinions. Such as this brother in Canada recently. I know him, very good brother. Then all of a sudden, I heard that he making a statement. He said, I don't believe in sunnah. I don't believe in predestinies anymore. Why? He said, you know what? I read Sahih al-Bukhari from A to Z, two times. And I couldn't يعني, find answers for my questions. And this brother, he doesn't speak Arabic. I said, which, يعني, you read what? He said, I read the translations. I said, SubhanAllah, you read the translations. Do you think, if you read Sahih al-Bukhari in Arabic, and understand Arabic, it's enough to make you a knowledgeable person. He started making doubts, and he's big fitna. Now in Canada, may Allah give him hidayah. Anyway, so, al-ujmah, not understanding Arabic, caused a lot of problems. Let's give you an example. Happened with one of the scholars. One of the Khawarij said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never break his promise. Because breaking promise is something good or bad? Bad. And Allah doesn't do anything bad. He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that whoever commits such and such sin, he will go to hellfire. So that means if you make a sin, you have to go to hellfire and cannot ever be get away from it. Otherwise Allah break his promises. He raised this point in front of one of the sheikhs. قَالَ مِنَ الْعُجْمَةِ أُتِيتْ قَالَ أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِمِخْلُفْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَاتِ وَلَا يُخْلِفُ وَعْدَهِ فَقَالَ مِنَ الْعُجْمَةِ أُتِيتْ إِنَّ إِخْلَافَ الْوَعِيدِ بِإِخْلَافِ عَلَى خِلَافِ إِخْلَافِ الْوَعْدِ فَإِنَّ إِخْلَافَ الْوَعْدِ مَذْمُوم وَإِخْلَافُ الْوَعِيدِ لَيْسَ بِمَذْمُوم. He said, because of your ignorance of Arabic language, you said that. Why? Because in Arabic language, promise, there is two types of promise. Promise of punishment and promise of rewarding. If I promise to punish my kids, I said, if you do this, I'm going to punish you. Then he did it. Then he came and he said, oh, Dad, I'm sorry. He said, okay, this is the last time. It's not something bad. Okay, I will forgive you this time. Something good to show your mercy. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. He said that you're going to be punished for this sin, but he might forgive you from his mercy. This doesn't mean in any house something wrong, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did something bad. As a fact, it's a good thing, because this is out of his mercy. But the bad, if you promise something to reward, then you didn't give it. Like if I said, I promise you, if you do this job, I'll give you $5. You didn't, you came. No, inshallah, next time. Oh, no. See, everybody knows this bad. He said, because you're ignorant of language, you said breaking promise is always bad. That's not true. There is two types of breaking promise in Arabic language. If you break your promise of something you promise to reward, or you promise to punish. See, understanding the Arabic language and the meaning of it help to save yourself from involving these innovations, and not understanding these kind of issues led those people to have their groups or this firqa such as Al-Khawarij.